He don't make no junk, amen. He don't make no junk. He said that he had a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And I believe it. I believe it. I got to get back over here where I started at here. There we go. I got all these notes, and I bet I don't use a third of them. But, you know, we've been in Ephesians for a while, and from my charge today is to bring some teaching on chapter 5, verses 3 to about 20. But if you look back in your Bibles at chapter 4, verse 17, and I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, it says, living as children of light, you know, and this is the same theme that we're going to be following today in the teaching that I'm going to be bringing. It's living as children of light, because God is light, amen, and because he's light, we're supposed to be imitators of him, and to be light in a dark world, that people might be drawn to that light that is Jesus Christ, amen. So let's just pray before we start, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, and we give you thanks for your son, Jesus. And Lord, we are so thankful for that love that you have for each and every one of us throughout this world, that you gave him as a ransom for many. Lord, we didn't deserve him, but you gave him freely, and he went to the cross freely for all of us. But the cross couldn't hold him, and grave couldn't keep him, and he has been resurrected, and he lives in us today. So, Father, we thank you for that. And as we study your word, Lord, I just pray that we would be conscious of all that you have done, that we might be called your children. I think it's in 1 John chapter 3. It says, how great is the love that God has lavished on us, that we might be called children of God, because that's what we are. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you be glorified and that Jesus would be lifted high. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I didn't close my notes. You know, we start out in chapter 5 just to kind of to go back and get a little bit of more context to this. And I don't know, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we see that we are to be imitators of God. And as I was reading that, you know, he's a good father. He really is. And, you know, we went camping with our whole family last weekend up at Shackamack, and I was watching little Brecken, my grandson, my youngest grandson, and my oldest grandson, Nasher. He was kind of in charge of the fire. He's like a little pyromaniac, you know, and he was over there, and he was trying to split some of the firewood, and some of it was hard for him to split, and he took the axe, and he would hit the wood, and then he'd take a hammer and drive the axe through the wood to split it. Well, little Brecken, little bitty fella, not even 2 years old yet, but he got him a hammer, and he got him a piece of wood, and he was imitating what he saw his brother doing. Amen? And we're supposed to be imitating God the Father, but Jesus said it this way in John chapter 5. He said, my Father today is at his work, and I too am working. Because the Father loves the Son, he shows him all that he does, and the Son can't do anything except what he sees his Father doing. You know, and we're supposed to be imitating him. And I don't know if this plays out in your own life. I remember my sons imitating me when I was growing up. And it's kind of a joyous thing, but it's also a scary thing. Amen. I was used to bring this word into the jails and when I was teaching recovery classes. And we talked about how our children see us doing things when we don't know that they see us doing things. Amen. And there was a man there, and he stood up, and he said, yeah. And he had tears coming up in his eyes because he said, I ran into my living room one day and I saw my son sitting in the middle floor with a screwdriver doing this. And I said, son, what are you doing? And he said, I want to be like you, Daddy. You know, it broke my heart that was what he saw in his father to imitate. And it brought conviction on that man. And I'll tell you what, that man is living for the Lord today. And he has been for a long time. And he's teaching his children a different way. He's living in the light, amen? So I praise God for that. But we are to be imitators of God. and to imitate what we see in Him. You know, He's a good God, and we imitate Him, and He's light, so we have to be light as well. You know, and if you look at chapter 5, verse 3, it says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now, understand the context. He's writing this letter to the Ephesians, and in Ephesus, at that time, they had a lot of idols and pagan worship there, and Ephesus was basically the epicenter for those who worshiped the goddess Artemis. And in that town of Ephesus, Artemis had her temple there, all right? And there was a lot of people made a lot of money off of building these little statues, these little idols for the folks that worshiped Artemis. And the festival, and there was a lot of idolatry and a lot of things going on there. And one of the things was Artemis was a goddess of fertility. And she was, the statue looked like she had many breasts, okay? It was a female statue with many breasts. And the festival of Artemis was basically a big drunken party where they had all kinds of immorality and carousing and all this going on. So that was part of it. And so Paul's calling that out, because there were a lot of people that came to put their faith in the Lord Jesus, but they were slipping back into those old habits and those old lifestyles. So he's calling them out on that. You can look in Acts chapter 19. When we were studying Acts, we saw that Paul went into Ephesus, right? He went there and he was healing a lot of people. He went in the synagogues for 3 months there, and the Jewish leaders, they were maligning the way, so he left and he went to the lecture hall of Tyrannus, I think is how you pronounce it, and he was there for 2 years, and people began to get healed. And it says in the scriptures that even people were healed if they took a handkerchief or an apron that Paul wore and touched the sick person with that handkerchief, then they were healed, and word spread about the Holy Spirit power, and demons were being driven out. So there were some people that made a lot of money driving out demons there too. That's where this greed part comes in, by the way. And they were there, and they were trying to drive out demons, and the seven sons of Sceva, remember those? And they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we demand you come out of him. And the demon spoke to them. He says, Jesus, we know, and Paul, we've heard out about, but who are you? And the man who had the demons in him jumped on those seven sons of Sceva and beat the tar out of them. They ran out of the house bleeding and naked. And word spread about that, and even greater fame came to the name of the Lord Jesus because of it. So many people were coming to know Jesus and getting healed in the name of Jesus because of the work of Paul and his friends there, that these silversmiths who were making these little idols weren't making any money. There was one called Demetrius, and he made a lot of money as a silversmith making these little idols and selling them at the festivals and whatnot. So he got together with all of his other idol makers, and he said, hey, we're not losing any small chunk of change here. We're this is affecting my heart, my livelihood. We need to do something about that. So he incited a riot, remember? So we see this is what Paul's battling here, and as he's writing these Ephesians, that's what he's talking about. That he wanted them to get away from that sexual immorality because of the idol worship of Artemis there and all the things and the greed that was going on, because a lot of people made money off of idol worship at that place. He says, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse language or joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What was happening, like I said, people made money off of the goddess Artemis. These festivals and these drunken parties and these orgies and all this, they had temple prostitutes, and people would pay money. And they'd even put posters outside with the people on them, you know, and they would talk about them and make fun of them. You know, what is it called today? Body shaming. And they would do these things, and they were coarse joking and just stuff that shouldn't go on in the lives of people of God. Amen. You know, and the lesson here is that we can be caught up in that kind of stuff too, can't we? Pretty easily. But he's saying that we need to expose it. You know, we are called to be light in a dark world. When we start allowing the darkness to enter into us, it diminishes the witness that we have. And we can say that we live for God, but we can blow it with a coarse joke or a statement. Amen. Living as children of light and imitating God, we can't have that. And that's what he's addressing here. I told you I wasn't probably going to read any of these notes, and I haven't even looked at them yet. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. God's wrath. Where have we seen that before? Chapter 1 of Romans, right? You remember? Let me just read it to you if you've forgotten. Starting at verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. It says, what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men were without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. Amen. It says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations with unnatural ones. And in the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, and they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents, and they are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Truth. We could apply that to today's society, couldn't we? You know, there's people that say that that's hate speech right there. But truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And it's sad. Because if they just knew God's great love for them. It's not hate, it's love. These are the things that Paul is speaking about when he's talking about the wrath of God being poured out upon them. He said not to be partners with them, except, but he said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it said, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You know, in Paul's passage there, I believe that he was referring to the Old Testament scriptures and prophecy of Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah wrote in chapter 59. It says, We look for light, but it is all darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. And among the strong, we are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but find none. For deliverance, but it is far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. But God says, wake up, O sleeper, arise. And I believe that this was probably it's not really a direct quote from Scripture, but I believe that maybe because Paul's going to talk about hymns and songs and spiritual songs a little later on, I believe that's what this arise, O sleeper, verse is. But in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. We are called to be light because God is light. And that light, the love of God, draws people like a moth to a flame, amen? That's what we're called to be and called to do. To be a light into a dark world. We don't have to become like the world. We're called to stand out from the world. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, amen? You know, I remember, how long has it been since Rick Warren introduced us to the 40 Days of Purpose? It's been a while, probably, 10, 15 years now? But I remember we were at New Hope at that time, and we were going through this, and it had a DVD series with it, and one statement that he made, it really was profound to me, and it really stuck in my heart and in my mind. And he talked about how his favorite seafood meal was sea bass, all right? He says, I love sea bass, and every time I go to a restaurant to get my favorite seafood dish, sea bass, the first thing that I do when I get it is I pour salt all over it. I love to have salt on my sea bass. He said, and it got me thinking, that sea bass lived in salt water its whole life. And when I get it and I want to eat it, the first thing I have to do is pour salt on it. He says, that sea bass lived in an environment surrounded by salt, but it never permeated its flesh. And that is how we are called to live in this world. We're not to be influenced and allow it to infiltrate into our flesh and in our spirit. I thought that was a good illustration because that's what God's called us to be and to be like, to stand out, to stand up for what's right, to speak out in love and present truth to those who are in the darkness. And then in verse 15, he has an admonishment for us here. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. How many of you all know that the days are evil? If you look at the unrest in this world, truth being called false, and falsehoods called truth. Justice does not prevail, it seems like sometimes. But we're not to let that affect us, are we? We can't let outside influences infect our internal peace. So we have to be very careful. We have to be wise. Because our devil, he knows what buttons to push on each and every one of us, doesn't he? He's a crafty old dude. So we have to live as wise and not as unwise. We're called to be living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, I can watch the news, and I don't watch it anymore. I quit watching it back in October, but I get little snippets here and there. But if I watched it like I used to, I mean, I'd probably be so angry and mad and downcast, I wouldn't have any peace at all. But I have to live as wise and not as unwise. So I put my trust in the Lord Jesus, you know. I believe with all my heart, because scriptures tell us that God is going to be Israel's guardian. I believe that with all my heart. And he says, blessed is the nation who blesses my Israel. And I believe that we need to stand firm as an ally with Israel. But every word needs to be taken captive, doesn't it? Every thought is what scriptures tell us. But I know this in my life, the more I fill my mind and my heart with his scripture and meditating on his word and just having a constant communication with him throughout my day, I don't have time for anything else. Amen. Because that brings me so much joy. And in these next verses, we see that kind of, I think that's what Paul's trying to infer here. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, what's the Lord's will? That we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Amen. That we don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We don't live the way we used to live. We don't live in the darkness. We live in the light. And we bring light to those who are in the darkness. It's what we've been called to be and called to do. For this is God's will. It's pleasing, his pleasing and good will for us. It says then, therefore, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And there again, he's talking about those drunken parties that they had at the festivals of these idols and whatnot, because they get drunk, and the rich would have these big banquets, and they'd get all drunk, and they'd lose their inhibitions, and the next thing you know, all kinds of immorality was going on. And in the same way, the poor folk, they would be entertained at the taverns, all right? And in the day, they would serve food. And those waitresses and barmaids that would serve you food and drink during the day mostly were slaves. So in the evenings, they would be forced into prostitution for their owners. So he's saying that, you know, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And I believe that's what he's talking about there in that culture. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow God to come in and just and clean you. He is a God of light. And light is an antiseptic. Do you know that? Sunlight is an antiseptic. You want an illustration of that? We're surveyors, all right? So we go out and we paint marks on the roadways and stuff. And if it's not in the shaded area, in about 2 weeks, you can't even see where it was. Right? How about the siding on your house? Does it fade? God's cleaning it up. You may not see it that way, but God does. And I could give you another illustration about going to the bathroom when you're hiking and camping, but I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But it's an antiseptic. And we fill ourselves with God and his Holy Spirit, then we don't have to worry about filling ourselves with all kinds of bad stuff. Amen. We are to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And when we have him come into us and his Holy Spirit reigns in us with power, ain't no devil ever going to get in. We're going to be filled to the measure of his greatness and his love. Ain't no high like the Most High. You know, and when we finally get that concept and understand that God is greater than any temporary high or pleasure that this world has to offer, but he gives us eternal joy and eternal peace, man, walking in that is so much better. But we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 19. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you what, that's my perfect world right there. How'd you like to be walking down the street and you run into a fellow believer and he says, good God Almighty! Woo-hoo! And somebody else says, I will praise the name of the Lord forever. May his praise be always on my lips. How great is our God. Man, what if we just said that to one another every day to encourage ourselves? Wouldn't that be great? Instead of the bickering and the arguing and the fighting that we see the talking heads doing all the time. Fix our eyes on what we have through Christ Jesus. Satan's greatest ploy in this world is to take our eyes off of all the goodness and all the things that he's given us in this life and to put it on what we don't have or what we perceive we don't have. Same old trick he played on Adam and Eve, right? He's still at it today. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns, and sing in your hearts with thanksgiving to God. I don't know, I spent a lot of time yesterday on a tractor, and it gives me a whole lot of time to meditate on God's word. And, you know, as you might have heard, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this weekend. And, you know, I couldn't help but thank God for my helpmate. It ain't always been easy, but we've always been together, and she's always stood by me through thick and thin, even losing a son. And I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my sons, because I believe if it hadn't been for my sons in my life, I would have probably been dead by now. A lot of my friends are. But God's always been faithful. He's always been someone I could trust in, even when I didn't know that I could trust him. Because there's a whole lot of people that let me down in my life, but God never did. So I was on that tractor, and I was just saying to my God how great he is and how thankful that I am for the blessings he's bestowed in my life. You see, because when we're thanking God for all the things he gives us, we're not complaining. You know, we're not allowing Satan jump up on our shoulder and let us know what we ain't got. That's pretty important, isn't it? Each and every one of us today, he's sitting here in this audience, we're taking breaths that God breathed into us. And if you're breathing today, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you to let you know God's doing a work in you right now. He ain't finished with you yet. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Even if you don't know what it is right now, he does. Just trust him. We don't have to walk around this world like people without eyes anymore, because we can keep our eyes fixed on him, and he will direct our path. We'll find out what his good and pleasing way is, and we can sing songs and hymns and sing in our hearts with thanksgiving to our God. And it's so much better than the other alternative. You ever been around people that just ain't ever happy? Boy, don't just depress you. But we have been given so much, and it doesn't take too much for each and every one of us to look around at somebody that has a whole lot worse than we have. What was that? I heard a missionary or somebody quoted one time that says, you know, I was complaining to a man about not having any sandals, and I looked down and he didn't have any feet. We could all have it a lot worse than what we have. And if you can't be thankful for what you've been given, be thankful for what you've escaped. Because we all deserve death. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have this blessed assurance that one day heaven will be our home. to live as children of light. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Be an imitator of him. And we will have joy and we will have that peace. And we will sing songs of praise and thanksgiving. Life is hard, but heaven's glorious. Amen. And as we prepare for our communion today, let's think about what God's given us through his son, Jesus. He has set an example for each and every one of us. He can be trusted. He's a good God. He's a great Father. So let's be imitators of him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today and we give you thanks for all the blessings that you've given us. Lord, you've called us to live as light in a dark world, that men might be drawn to that light and be saved. Father, I pray that we would live that life full of the Holy Spirit power, that you would empower us to live different than the world lives, and that it would just, like I said, be a light in a dark place, a city on a hill, as Jesus talked about. That people would know who and whom we belong. And through that, they would want to be a part of your family as well. That they would be adopted as sons and daughters of the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters of him. So, Lord, I just come before you and we remember the gift that you've given us through your son, Jesus, and the sacrifice he made for us once for all when he laid his life down for us. He suffered and he died upon that cross. But that night before he died, he took the cup and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the new covenant, the blood that I will shed for you." And in the same way, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, all of you, for this is my body that is broken for you." And he said, "Whenever you drink this wine and break this bread, do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord Jesus, we remember your sacrifice. We partake in your suffering that we might be healed. So, Lord, I just pray that through us you'd be glorified. Through us, Lord, people would come to know